well.
What's your opinion? When I say the word relationship, what comes into your mind?
Please, speak to me.
Commitment.
Devotion.
Devotion.
Family.
Brotherhood.
Vulnerability.
Brotherhood.
Brotherhood. Now, brotherhood is a big word. What is brotherhood, guys?
Spending time.
Openness.
Yeah. Sharing concerns.
Sharing concerns.
Camaraderie.
Camaraderie.
Loyalty.
Backing each other. Backing each other.
Does it come easy for men?
No.
Why is that? Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself.
Afraid of emotion.
Afraid of emotion?
Yeah. Pride.
Pride. Pride. Pride is a big word.
Independent.
Yeah. Independent.
Right. Ego.
Ego.
Custom.
Yeah. That we are customized to be independent.
Right.
Customized to maintain territory.
Right.
What?
Afraid of being vulnerable.
Vulnerable. We are afraid of being vulnerable.
Right.
And that fear is driven by what? That society tells you that being vulnerable is weak.
Yeah.
Well, the reality is that if you hold stuff in, the weakness will show.
Yeah.
And if you're vulnerable, the strength will build. But yet we sit together and struggle with the same things but never speak to each other. Struggle with the same issues and never help each other out. So we have a conspiracy of defeating ourselves as a brotherhood.
Wow. Why? Because we will not embrace a simple concept that God teaches throughout the Bible. From the time of Genesis, when he began to reach out to Adam and Eve, it was a relationship he was trying to build. You know, he put them in the garden. They ate what they were not supposed to eat. They were running away from God. God was reaching out.
Wow.
Who told you you're naked? Oh, did you eat that fruit? Yes, it happened. So, well, I still want to have a relationship with you, but there are consequences when you don't have a relationship with God and with other people.
Amen.
It is hugely difficult in today's world for men. If you look around, statistics show that men, we die early. If you look around, that men are self-destructing more than women. And mainly it's because we don't have a place to take out issues and talk about the things that we need to talk about as men. And God designed us to have fellowship, to have a relationship with him first and with one another.
Yep.
Right.
So when that's not happening,
you can imagine what that can give rise.
We carry a lot of stress as men.
Yeah.
A lot of stress.
Yep.
But we just don't talk about it. Some of us don't sleep until past midnight. That's all stress playing around. Oh, go to bed, close your eyes, but the brain is it's not shutting down. And you're trying to will it to shut down, it's not shutting down. Because you haven't done what we should be doing, which is talking to God first in prayer and then talking to one another.
Come on. Yeah.
So today I would like to encourage you. And I understand that we can get busy in this part of the world. We're going to figure out how you have to learn to find out the priorities in your life.
Right.
And one of that is a relationship with God and with one another. So today I'll be talking about building God relationships. Friendships are built. They don't just happen. Don't wake up one day and say, oh, okay, Matov is my friend. Oh, Scott is my friend. Didn't happen like that.
No.
You have to sit around and ask yourself, who are my friends? And when you're younger, you may not value that and think, oh, I'm okay. I'm telling you, as you grow older, you'll see the value of friendships.
Yes.
You'll feel lonely as you grow older if you don't build friendships right now. So for the young guys, start looking for your friends.
Yeah.
I have friends around the world that I can call to, but I'm building new ones here.
Right.
But because it does not just happen, you must build friendships where you are.
Amen.
Right.
And you have to be vulnerable to do that.
The lie the devil tells every disciple is, if you talk about it, what will people think about you? Okay, let me tell you something. They think anyway.
They think anyway.
It's
true. So stop wasting your energy by worrying about that. Just be godly about it.
Yeah.
And God will work the rest out.
Yeah.
So let's get into the scriptures as we go forward. Point number one, pray for each other.
Amen.
I like to look at Jesus and Simon and how that works out. You see, Simon, this is Luke 22:31-32. I take it again. Simon, Simon, Satan asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. That's Luke 22:31-32.
This is a relationship that Jesus had with Simon Peter. And if you read the scriptures, you see how that Simon would behave around Jesus. I mean, he would say stuff that is outrageous, spiritually speaking, bad for Christ or friends. They would have a conversation. I mean, at one point he told him, get behind me, Satan. Mm-hmm. Now, for you to say that to someone, you better know that person well.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to have some real issues. And we say, yeah, I can say that to any brother. You cannot say that if you don't have a relationship with
him. That's right.
Over time.
Right.
So, what happened here was Simon, you're saying, I will pray for you because the devil has asked to sift you up, to deal with you. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail.
Amen.
How would that be? Because Jesus knew what Simon was going through. Jesus knew what was going to come as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that means there was a connection, there was a relationship between them, that there was vulnerability, there was openness, such that they knew each other and prayed for one another.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you a question. Do you have somebody you are so real with, but you're not afraid of wrong?
Mm.
You're vulnerable. You don't pretend. You're just real. That's one side of the question. Because Jesus could know that about Simon, they were real. Let's switch the question around and say, how are you when people are real with you?
Let's say Kenson comes and tells me stuff. Do I change the way I treat him from that day?
And they said that, I'm like, ah, okay, I'm not sure about this guy anymore, man. Why is he even here? What? Do I go that route?
Mm.
Or do I say, wow, I have prayed for you.
Amen.
I'll pray for you.
Amen. Come on.
You see, the difference between church and the world is the world judges and isolates.
Yeah.
We should be open, get prayers, get each other praying for one another and helping each other to overcome. If we don't understand that, then we don't understand the church culture. We're building a worldly culture, which is I speak and I get isolated. Get open and get help.
Amen. Amen.
Yep. And sometimes we get open, but we don't want the help.
Mm-hmm.
We did the conscious thing. I just want to talk about it so that I can lift this over my chest.
Okay.
What about getting help so that we can overcome, be transformed, be new, be different? How about that?
Mm-hmm.
You see, so he was praying and says, I pray so that your faith may not fail. So when you have repented,
because he was going to be failing, and he may be failing in sin.
Mm.
This prayer was that when you have repented, meaning he was going to be in sin. Now, we're not like Christ who could see what was coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for us is to really to pray for one another and help each other to repent. And here's the thing, as men, we can go through certain sins and fight alone and then talk about them years later that we overcame something. But sometimes it comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Or we try and forget it. Let's not play that game, because then you're not dealing with the root of it. You're dealing with symptoms. You're willing yourself out of it. Guilt is overwhelming you to the point of running away from that sin. Learn to... Jesus saw that he was going to fail and he needed to repent. So he was asking him, I'll pray for you. So if you're going to pray for someone, you must have known what they're going through, right?
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that some people, you talk to them and you feel safe. And some people, you talk to them and you don't feel safe.
Mm.
Why? If I haven't dealt with me and dealt with, understood my failures and struggled, it's hard for me to show you grace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you feel that sometimes.
Right.
So you have to look at yourself first. We all have to change and say, how am I when people come to me? Do we? And some of us will say, okay, he came and confessed and I said, I'll pray for him. Beyond that, pray but give some help.
Mm-hmm.
Pray but give some help.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Yep.
And if you don't know how, figure out how to.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out how to. That's your opportunity to grow. Amen.
Yeah.
Figure out how to do that. So, pray for each other. The implication of being sifted is that he was going to struggle with sin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all being sifted as men.
Yes.
Because if you destroy the man, you destroy the family.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If you destroy the man, you destroy the everyone in the life, everybody they touch, their children, their wives, their cousins. So it's a huge battle. And the devil knows what he's doing.
Yep. Yeah.
Then I can catch one man and I catch a whole family.
Wow.
And so don't underestimate the power of you doing well spiritually. It changes your marriage. It changes your life. It changes your friendships. So you have to really say, okay, how am I doing? Are we praying for one another? The power of prayer is impeccable. It's strong.
Yeah.
How often do you pray for your brothers?
Come on.
Do you ask them, what can I pray for you? And we all say, I'll pray for you, but do we pray?
Yeah.
We go home, do we pray? Do you take time to pray? The announcement's over there, do we pray? It's part of relationship building. It's a culture of being concerned for others, and when they are failing, really praying for them and not feeling better out of what you had and thinking, I must be doing well.
Mm.
We may never say that, but we may think,
right.
Wow. Mm. We're spiritual enough to know, I can say that, but I can think it.
Mm.
The Bible talks in Hebrews 4 that it judges the thoughts, attitudes. It's deep stuff, right?
Yep.
Yes.
So it's not about what you don't say. God says that already. Mm-hmm. So the struggle is that we must talk about that and get help. You see, the other thing we deal with is life. It's just the challenges, many challenges. Challenges of money, challenges of schedule, challenges of raising. I mean, as we grow older, our parents are passing on. That's a challenge.
Yep.
And you're coming into the midlife. Then you have teenagers coming in your life. That's all a challenge that can play in your life. And if you don't have God, you're going to fall apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have pressure threefold,
yeah.
Sixfold, everywhere.
Yeah.
And some challenge you put on yourself. You say, I'm growing old. Who told you you're old?
That's right.
Come on.
We start putting that pressure on ourselves. Because I'm just saying, God, in this stage I am right now, God, you've allowed me these years, I'm going to give myself.
Amen.
Because when we go old, we lose out on what God is trying to do with us at that stage of life.
Yeah.
Come on.
So it's important to understand that we have these challenges coming left, right, and center. It's life, it's money, it's children, it's wives. And if you're a teenager, it's a challenge of identity. Who am I? People are saying all kinds of things, and society is telling you one of the things. So you have to ask yourself, who am I? And come to God to show you that.
Right. Amen.
That's how it works. You have to come back to God. And we pray for these challenges. That's why we need prayers, because you cannot do it without prayers.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
The testing of our faith is necessary, though. We say, we hope that these things go away. They will not go away. We need this testing so that we can grow. He said, after I've prayed for you, and after then you repent, you'll turn back and strengthen your brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So you go through stuff so that you can turn around and strengthen your brothers.
Amen.
This stuff I hated when I was going through. And I wished it would just zip by and it would take years. But now I can turn back and say, you know, my friend, this is how you deal with this stuff.
Wow.
I can tell you stories about this, this, and this, and this, and this. This is how you repent. You see, the idea that you're going to be a Christian that doesn't struggle can only happen if you stop making Jesus Lord of your life.
Right.
That's the only time it can happen. But if Jesus is Lord of your life, you struggle.
Yep.
But that struggle is supposed to help you to go beyond self-willing to depending on God.
Amen.
That's prayer. That is being in the Word. That is being vulnerable. And that is coming to a place of not just willing yourself, but really confidently proclaiming God's Word and saying, you know what? I've overcome this because of the grace of God.
Mm. Right.
It can be as simple as lust. It's all how you see women. And that can change because you focus on God and God begins to open your eyes on how you see women. It can be as simple as money. God can give you contentment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the amount that makes you happy.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
It's the heart around it. Right. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against you if you're a millionaire. I'm happy with that. I'm just saying, you can have 10 million and not be happy.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
All I'm saying to you is that learn the principles of God that bring joy instead of chasing the worldly principles of if I got this.
Right.
Get everything you need, but come to God. He's the one that gives you contentment.
Amen.
Those are the challenges we face as men. You need testing to grow. Jesus prayed for Peter's faith not to fail. All these things are geared towards stealing our faith.
Mm.
And when men lose faith, we begin to be very philosophical around things. We don't read the scriptures. We don't allow the Bible to transform us. And we just walk around doing what other men do, but with the Bible on the side.
Mm. No, we need to make Jesus the Lord of our lives. Because sometimes God is saying, this needs to go so that I can bless you, but you will not let it go. Mm-hmm. So that's why prayer is necessary.
But if we're not talking,
we're going to struggle. It is
challenging if you don't pray. Mm-hmm. And you will not survive. Even just the schedule alone, to keep the schedule. If you don't pray about it, you will not manage it. No. It will overcome you. It will become your master. Mm-hmm. You have to pray about your schedules, pray about your decision making so that the day flows well.
Amen.
Otherwise you get short-tempered, because there's too much pressure coming your way. Mm. So think about that and ask yourself, who will you pray for after today? Mm. Secondly, support each other.
I mean, do you support one another? I mean, it's interesting how if you put men together in a sport, what happens? We're talking about a football, American football.
Yes.
Amazing stuff. The coach.
I'm talking about when you're on different sides of the team.
Uh-huh.
What happens?
Competition.
Yep.
Competition.
Competitiveness.
Start knocking heads.
Okay. Many of us grew up with that stuff. Mm-hmm. You grew up knowing American football, basketball, it's serious competition.
Yep.
What you don't realize is that it has formed your way of thinking so strongly. Even when you don't want to think like that, you operate like that. Mm-hmm. It is right under your sheen of the character. Unless you unwind that and say, okay, I want to really be supportive to what's going on here.
We're doing this, I want to be supportive. We're doing that, I want to be supportive.
If you don't know it, you fight on that route a lot. You just get competitive for not knowing. Mm-hmm. You feel things. Mm. Why? Because it's ingrained. We're raised, socialized, competition.
Right.
Territory.
Yep.
So we don't know how to live in the family of God sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Which is just to be united, right. To be humble, to work together, to be in this family group, to make it work. To make things work in the family of God requires a lot of focusing on God's way of doing things, not how we were raised.
Right. Yep.
Now, as a sport, it's a great sport.
Indeed.
It's a fantastic sport. There are many lessons. Many lessons. I mean, they show it in Africa. I'd watch it and say, this is amazing. People banging each other like, I mean, this is a serious bang. I'm like, man, look at the sound that comes out of that bang. Whoa! And I'm thinking to myself, I hope those kids are fine.
20 years now.
I was asking how many of these guys live beyond 60 years old?
Right.
I don't know, but you know, I need to check the stats and all that. Because that kind of banging, you'll pay a price at some point.
Yep.
Anyway, let's read this. Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you. This is now Luke 22, 33 to 34. Second point. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. Mm. Now, the significance of this conversation is that they can even have it. Mm. That they can even have it. That, you know what? Hey, Mike, I know you, but you're going to tell on me 3 days after now. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that? Or Mike is telling me the other way around. Mm-hmm. Or Steve is telling me that the other way around. The fact that they can have that conversation tells you that they had a friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are there things you can't talk about with your friends?
Wow.
Mm. It's a hallmark of Satan imprisoning us. We cannot talk and let things go as we are held somewhere. We've not trusted God totally, but it doesn't happen overnight. It requires developing friendships and talking through things.
Right.
And developing those, whether you want to call it discipling, one another relationships, you have to develop that. They were having that conversation. That's just the fact that they can have that conversation is amazing friendship. And Christ is modeling amazing maturity. That, yeah, you're going to fail me, man. See, so for some of us, somebody fails you one time. That's it. Out. Red card.
Yep.
Out.
Go ahead, soccer.
Out.
Mm-hmm. That's soccer. What do you do it in American football? What do you give them?
A flag.
A flag? They come back again? They're out.
You don't eject.
You eject them out. You give them a flag.
Yeah.
Basketball, well, we're going to, after 5 fouls, out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Technical. We do that to each other. Mm-hmm. Wow. We don't say it, but we're giving them the flag.
Wow.
We're giving them 5 fouls out. Hey, good to see you, but 5 fouls out. Yeah, we can shake it.
And what if we, when you start operating like that,
if you start doing that at, let's say, 16,
mm-hmm. Wow.
What kind of friendship will you have at 70?
Mm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Everybody will fall out, you'll be a lonely guy in a corner over there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
You put yourself in that emotional corner.
Wow.
Why? Because each time they fall out.
Mm-hmm.
We must understand that it is, conflict helps us to grow.
Yep. Yeah.
But it, you cannot get emotion out of it, and you got to pray so that when you come, you have a good conversation around it.
Mm.
If we cannot do that, it kills us. It kills the heart. Mm-hmm. It kills the spirit of growth. It kills our relationships. Now, there are people that can hurt you really bad, but you don't want them to have the power. When they show up, you just feel like you're closed down. That's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
When they show up, you can smile, but know that they have some challenges. They have some challenges, and we got to watch that, but we got to be faithful and pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Peter's weakness was obvious to Jesus.
Have you seen some weaknesses in brothers? How have you treated that? With grace or with judgment?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to judge everybody, then nobody here is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not good. You're not good. But if you understand grace, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it so well with our children. Our kids will mess up, we'll love on them.
If I can do the same thing with one another,
mm-hmm.
We're brothers.
Come on.
So I came from a family of 12. I mean, 12 guys is a handful, you know.
Dina was a... No playmate. No playmate. My dad would watch everybody as everything was happening.
My brother was... Patrick, my brother would be the jokester of the place and would be telling jokes about everything. And people get offended why I would make jokes about them. And I was... I'm the smallest guy, so I'm just watching how the drama is unfolding in front of me. Getting upset. What? I'm like... But we got along. We get along.
Mm-hmm.
We traveled as a whole family, 400 that's about 200 miles together on African roads. That's a long route.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I can never forget, we held together. Not because we were, not because we hated each other, or not because we just fine, but because we had to work on building family.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You see, sometimes we don't take that seriously, building family. Who are going to be your friends when you're 50, when you're 60?
Mm.
I mean, I met brothers here. I don't know who I was talking to. It was Alan, and he said, oh, I've been friends with this guy since for 30 years. I said, 30 years? That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You need friends, guys.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, God wants you in a family, and the family is the church of God.
Amen. Right.
It's the body of Christ.
Right.
So understand that, yes, there will be these issues, but don't judge. Show grace and help them to turn around. That's what Christ was doing with Simon Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Encouragement is needed and help people in weakness.
Let's show care, but also show encouragement. And show, that means if people are going through, sometimes people go through stuff you can't help, but you can pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
But you can say, you can call me when you need any help. Stuff like that helps people. You follow that?
Right.
So let's figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
We need to mature from the challenges that we go through. Peter matured. If you follow the story of Peter, he turned around, became such an effective leader.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us go through something and then we label ourselves as, I'm not good.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said that to you, but you say that and you start saying that, I think that's what other people think of me.
Mm.
That's not true. That's what you think of yourself. And now you've been taking it for too long. It's a reality. It was a lie initially. And that's a reality. You feel it, you think it, and it's become your reality.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
So I'm asking you today to think about this, is how do you then
deal with this kind of, how do you support each other? Is you want to encourage, yes, you're praying, we talked about that, but you also want to make sure that you're there helping the brother understand some of the practical things they can do to start overcoming.
Amen.
Some practical things they can do to start overcoming. And if you don't have a practical thing, give a book, give something.
Amen.
Yeah.
You see, it's just the fellowship. Somebody says something that really awakens you. Get in that habit of just talking, and you'll be amazed at how change happens to your life.
Yep.
It's funny how, when you've been a Christian for a while, you take each other for granted. Then a new guy walks into church and says, "Wow, amazing, look at this place."
Yeah.
They're like, "What are you talking about?" "Oh, never met." And he's looking at you and says, "Oh, you're blinded, buddy. This place is amazing.
Wow.
You've been around for too long, you don't see it."
Wow.
Be careful about that.
Yep.
I hope you've not been around for your wife for too long until you think she's not amazing. All right, man. She better be.
Wow.
Talk about it.
Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's your wife of 10, 15, 20 years. I hope she's amazing.
Amen.
When that happens, you start comparing it with something else.
Mm-hmm.
You've lost God and you become materialistic somewhere.
Stick with God. Stick with God. Stick with your marriage. Stick with everything you're doing, and God will do amazing things.
That's right.
Amen.
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 Support each other and pray for each other. Finally, but not least, let's talk about friendship takes maturity. And I want to be careful how I frame this. Just because I'm above 18 doesn't mean I'm mature.
That's true.
Come on. That's not a statement that I want to put to you down. I'm just stating a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And because the growth of the body for men ends at 21, for women at 16, but the spiritual growth is continued journey.
That's right.
And we take until we die.
Amen.
So if you think you arrived because of the whatever years, then you made a mistake there. You have to begin to recalibrate yourself and think, how can I start this journey of growth again?
Right.
And the journey of growth is, if you seek, you'll find. If you ask, you'll be given.
That's
if
right.
You knock, the doors will be open.
Right.
God will give that to you.
That He always answers our prayer. Friendship takes maturity. John 21, 15 to 19. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you," Jesus said. "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you are young, you are able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me."
Wow.
You see, that conversation started by being asked, "Do you love me?"
Mm-hmm. And he got offended.
Hey, are you going to ask me three times, "Do you love me?" What kind of conversation is this?
Yep.
But Jesus repeated it three times. And I think you have to understand this. After that, he explained to him why. And he says, I'm preparing you because you're going to die a death that, you know how Peter died. And he says, you're going to die a difficult death, but
I'm preparing you for that right now. You see, maturity is not lack of fear. It's how you process that fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's not lack of discouragement. It's how you process that discouragement.
Mm-hmm.
It's not lack of struggle. It's how you process struggle. The way we've always configured maturity in our church sometimes is that I do well, I'm doing this, I'm baptizing, I'm doing that, and that means I'm doing well.
Well, that's performance. And I don't know how much you can keep up with that. Real maturity is not lack of these challenges, it's how you deal with these things.
Right. Yep.
Amen.
It's whether you give up, give in, and just shut down.
and disappear from life.
Come on.
It's immaturity. Mm-hmm. It's not lack of it. It's how you handle it. Mm-hmm. It's whether you go to God, whether you pray. I mean, the other days I'm down and out, and I'm fed up with it. But I pray, and I say, God, sorry.
And if you want to understand that maturity, read Psalms. He starts with all kind of complaints, but he always ends with, but you are Lord.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So you cannot be mature if you're not being authentic with your feelings. And yet, that's where we struggle most of the men.
Mm. Yeah, come on, man.
That's right.
Peter, the Bible says Peter was hurt. That's a feeling.
Yep.
That was a man. He says, I'm hurt. Oh, you're a small boy. How can you be talking about being hurt? You know, sometimes when you're in school, maybe teens may do that to one another. I hope it doesn't happen. People try to blackmail you not to feel a certain way by saying certain things. You need to be able to understand that maturity is not lack of these issues. It's how you handle them. So whether you come to God, it's whether you have conversations, you get open, and get help.
Amen.
That's what maturity is all about.
Amen.
Right.
You see, we need to get away from thinking that maturity is all perfect, being perfect.
Mm.
I stopped being perfect a long time. I figured that, you know, I'm not. Mm.
Good.
Maturity is actually being vulnerable. We talked about vulnerability.
Right.
Now, I'll talk about that later in more depth, but vulnerability is a huge thing of that. But if you don't have friends, who will you talk to?
Mm-hmm.
Who will you talk to? So my encouragement today is to get you to start connecting, whether it's in family groups and find, or in neighborhoods, and find a way to really connect, to have relationships that are meaningful, that we can talk about things, that we help each other, we pray with each other, take prayer walks, and just hang out together, have good conversations. It's amazing when you do that. It grows you. I can give you a scientific side of it as well, research in leadership systems. They say that if a human being is not taking care of the heart, and what they say the heart is leadership, is relationships. If they're leading, if a human being does not have good relationships, they struggle. This is management stuff. This is management stuff. I said, you had to figure that through research. I could figure that through the Bible.
Yeah.
I could tell you, I mean,
no offense, I like this stuff. I'm a student of it. No offense, but clearly, if you don't have good friendships, you struggle longer in life.
Yeah.
Not even performance is a problem at one.
Mm.
So we need to do that for one another.
Amen.
But it starts with God.
Amen. Amen.
If the connection is there, John 13, 34 to 35 will come to be in this church. And people walk in and says, I want to be a part of this congregation. God bless you.